أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. Respected elders, brothers, sisters in Islam and Iman, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. تقبل الله أعمالكم. May Allah accept all of your ibadat, your prayers, your fasting, your charity in this holy month. May Allah give us the tawfiq to attain the purpose of the month of Ramadan and become better servants of His, accomplishing the purpose for which we've been created. The topic that we've been discussing has been that of life lessons from the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran. And in the first night, we talked about some of the positions, the maqamat, the elevated status of Nabi Ibrahim from the Quran. Last night, we began discussing how it is that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam argued with the idol worshippers of his time. And we looked at, three verses from the Quran which talked about different techniques, different points that Nabi Ibrahim brings up when he's discussing with the idol worshippers. Those of you who were with us, I think that if you look at the verses that were talked about and you ask the question of how relevant is this, is it something that's applicable to us in our lives, you'll answer that yes, definitely, that the Quran is speaking to us, that these same arguments that Nabi Ibrahim brought up at that time have relevancy for us in our times as well too. Even though the land has changed, even though the era has changed, even though the people have changed, at the end of the day, human beings are human beings. And they have their idols that they cling to and that they want to worship. And the mistakes that they're making are the same mistakes they made back in those times. By studying these arguments, by studying their thought patterns, by studying the logic of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and the tawheed of Nabi Ibrahim, we can learn some things for ourselves. The topic that I left off with in last night's speech was regarding technology, and it was inspired from verse number 95 and 96 from Surah Saffat, I believe. Peace be upon Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال أتعبدون ما تنحتون والله خلقكم وما تعملون. This is one of the arguments that Nabi Ibrahim brings up when talking to the idol worshippers. He says that, do you worship that which you yourselves create, you fashion, you form, while Allah is the one who created you and everything that you do and everything that you make? How is it that Allah is the creator of those things that we make? This is something that is a serious question. We have to think about it. Because on an apparent level, when I construct something, I'm its maker. I'm the fashioner of it. I'm the builder of that house, for example, that I built. But Allah says here that, Wallahu, this is in the words of Nabi Ibrahim, Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amalun. The answer, and that inshallah, that something that I had asked you to think about over the night, inshallah, I'm sure you came to this conclusion, that everything is a creation of Allah, every single thing in this universe. Even those things that we do with our own intention, with our own free will, that process by which we do these things, these are also under the command of Allah. Now don't get me wrong here. If I build a house, if I construct some technology, like I make an iPhone or any type of technology, I am doing it out of my own choice. I'm not. It's not that I'm compelled to do it. We don't believe in this idea of jabr, that human beings are forced to do something. We have free will. But that whole process by which I go about doing this, the different movements that I make, all of that is under the system that God has created for us. I want to look at a Quranic example of this point, which is how is it that Allah views technology? The example that Allah gives for this is that of the ship. Those of you who read Quran, inshallah all of us, we know that many times Allah refers to the ships that are sailing in the seas. And He asks us to think about them. One example of this is in Surah Baqarah. Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 164. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His various signs. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He's talking about His signs. Indeed, in the creation of the skies and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Now, until now, He's talking about signs in nature, right? The samawat is the skies. The ard is the earth. The وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. The differences in the night and day. These are also signs of nature. Okay? Then he says, وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ. And those ships, or the ship that sails in the ocean. That's included right in along that list of the signs in nature is the ship. Why? Isn't that something which is different? Because this is something which is built by a human being, not from the perspective of God. This too is one of the signs of God. بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. By which human beings profit. وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ. And that water which Allah causes to descend from the sky, that's also a sign in nature. فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And He causes the earth to become alive because of that water. وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَةٍ. And then all the animals that He causes to go forth in the land, and the changing of the winds, and the clouds in the sky. لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعَقِلُونَ. All of these are signs for those who want to think about it. If we're those who think about it, we will see the ship as being a sign of Allah as well, just as these natural signs in the universe. What is the difference between a ship and, let's say, rain falling from the sky? In one of them, human beings has a role to play. But still, we're just one part of an entire cycle that causes that ship to come about. First of all, the first idea, they say that Nabi Nuh was the first to build a ship. Right? Who is it that inspired him to build that ship? It was Allah. Who is it that gave him that energy to be able to construct it? Who gave him the raw materials to be able to put it together? Who created the laws in the universe, the law of density and other laws that would make that ship be able to float in the ocean? And then once it's on the ocean, the different means by which it's powered and by which it goes through water. At that time it was wind. In today's world we have gasoline power, we have steam engines, we have a whole array and assortment of different ways that these ships go through the sea. But all of these are processes and elements that are put into place by Allah. And this applies to any type of so-called invention. If you talk to anybody who's a scientist, anybody who's a researcher, anybody who is on the cutting edge of their field, and you ask them, how is it that you discover new things? They'll tell you that I get inspired. Right? I start thinking about something, I start researching it, and then it's like a light bulb that goes on in my head. Who is it that lights that light bulb? You know, where is it coming from? Is it ourselves, that we ourselves are responsible for our own invention? We're actually inventing it? We're not inventing anything. We're discovering something that was already in place. Allah had decided that this thing would be revealed. This particular aspect of His creation would be revealed at this time. And now it's coming forth. And then you, for example, if you're the inventor, you are the means of displaying that creation of Allah. Right? So when we use the word inventor, we should actually technically be using something else, like the one who is manifesting the creation of Allah. I've been chosen, I've had the honor to do that. That's the way a Muslim scientist would go about doing his or her work. When you look at the other Quranic descriptions of the ship, which is the symbol of technology, we see, for example, in Surah Rahman, Surah 55, verse number 24, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارُ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. Those ships that are sailing in the ocean, Allah says, وَلَهُ, they belong to Him. They don't belong to that shipping company, they don't belong to that sports company, they belong to Allah. You can spend millions of dollars and you can put your own private brand on your yacht and furnish it with the state-of-the-art recreational equipment. You can build a submarine and you can live underwater. Recently, there was a news item of somebody who was underwater, who lived underwater in the deep sea for more than a month, and it was a big deal. You can do everything you want, personalize it. وَلَهُ الْجَوَارُ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْعَلَامِ. These belong to Allah. In Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, verse number 32, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْفُلْكَ لِتَجْرِيَ فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ. Those ships that are set at sail, and that are moving through the ocean, these are objects which are under the command of God. They're not independent. بِأَمْرِهِ لِتَجْرِيَ فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ. Allah is the one who's commanding them. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَاهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا. It's with the name of Allah, the name of Allah, that this ship is setting sail and it is moving through that water. And then in Surah Yasin that we read so frequently, that's such a wonderful source of understanding more about Allah and Tawheed. What is it that Allah says about the Surah number 36, verse 41 and 42? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ Sorry, 41. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. One of the signs of God, if you want to know God, you have to look at His signs. One of the signs of God for them, for human beings, أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. We took their race and we carried them in that ship which was full. And which ship is that? It's the ship of, it's the Ark of Noah. Right? That's one of the signs of God. That's a sign of God, and all the other ships are a sign of God as well too. And then in verse 42, he says, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. And we created for them the like of that ship that which they ride in. Something like that ship as well too. Now what is this like? What is it that Allah is referring to? Some Mufassirin of the Quran say that it's the other ships. Allah talks about the Ark of Noah, and then He says the other ships also, they're created by Allah. Some other commentators say that it's the animals that human beings ride, the horses, the camels, the other animals. When Allama Tabayi rahmatullahi comes to this verse, He says that perhaps you could, that's not wrong. He says that's potentially correct. It could be ships, it could be animals. He says that, but there's perhaps Allah could be referring to things like airplanes and spaceships as well too. These are things which, if Allah had mentioned in the Quran at that time, people wouldn't have understood what it's talking. It would have been gibberish for them. You know, spaceships, you know, tayyarat, you know, airplanes. What's that? But in today's world, we understand that these are also means by which we're transported from point A to point B. And the same rule applies to them. The same way that ship belongs to Allah, that it's directed by Allah, that the inspiration of it comes from Allah, that the raw materials come from Allah, that the free will that's exercised by the human beings that created is something which Allah has put in place in the universe, the same thing applies to the spaceship as well too. That spaceship is property of Allah. You can stamp USA on it, you can stamp USSR on it, you can stamp China on it, but at the end of the day, it belongs to Allah as well too. These are all signs of Allah in the universe. Now, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, in arguing with the idol worshippers, he says that how can you worship that thing which you yourselves have put together? You've hammered it together, you've carved it out of stone and wood. It is Allah who is the one, don't you see? Don't you see that Allah is the one who created you, and you created that thing as well too? Unfortunately, we're living in an age, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes those things that we create with our own hands, we use them as a means of sinning against God. They're supposed to be something that we appreciate, that we see as a sign of God, but we use them as a means of sinning against God. Before, it used to be the case that when the radio station played our favorite song, when we had access to a radio station, wherever we were, then we could listen to that haram music and you know, enjoy that little thing. But today, in today's world, we're forced to, if we want to, we can force our body continuously, whether we're doing homework, whether we're walking in the street, whether we're in the car, we can have those white headphones and be listening to whatever we want. Our body wasn't meant to be subject to this type of torture. Our body is meant to be free. We're free beings. We're supposed to be able to take in the signs of God in the world around us when we're walking around. Allah says in the Quran, how many signs of Allah they pass by, but they're not aware of them. If we're always bombarding ourselves with music and imagery which is haram, then how are we going to have the opportunity to take advantage of the signs of God in the universe around us? Technology is supposed to be something that's supposed to help us see Allah, to help us worship Allah better. When the internet first came out, and you know, the powerful search engines came about, all of us were really excited. We started being able to find information where it used to take us a long time to find it. But in today's world, you see powers of injustice exploiting these means of technology. They use it as a means of spying on their citizens. They use it as a means of profiling individuals. The same technology that Allah has revealed, this is the act of Allah, as a muwahid sees the internet, sees social media, sees all this technology as being yet another manifestation of Allah in the universe. But they're using this manifestation, this creation of Allah, as a means of furthering their oppression. This is wrong. We have to try hard to see that. As I turn on my phone, for example, right, I should appreciate that once in a while. Look at what this lets me do. It allows me to keep in touch with my family before I used to have difficulty doing so. Alhamdulillah. I get off talking to my grandmother in Pakistan or in Africa or in Mississauga. I should be like, Alhamdulillah, that this work of Allah was the thing that let me do this type of thing. Before that, how difficult would it be to be able to keep in touch with others? Not use it as a means of disobeying Allah and turning away from Him. Peace be salawat ala Muhammad. The next argument that we want to look at from the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is from Surah Maryam, Surah number 9.